and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? I'm looking at your Zoom. You seem to be in a beautiful floor-to-ceiling windowed apartment overlooking gorgeous Queens. How are you? This, I think that's the first time that's ever been said. What?
Yeah.
Tell us about the new place. It looks great.
The new place, the apartment itself is amazing. It's great. It's like, it's big and there's a lot of natural light. I love it in the actual apartment.
For the listeners at home, a lot of natural light is an understatement. There, Jordana is in front of the windows that Matthew McConaughey was in Wolf of Wall Street before he does that whistle song, you know?
Yeah. No, the lighting is great. Mike is in his own separate office room, which is
huge.
Which is huge because I don't see him constantly, like throughout the day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we have our own space, which is
it's beautiful.
Great.
It's a beautiful thing, and something that before COVID, before pandemic, we kind of took for granted because, you know, I once met with a real estate broker. I remember they showed me an apartment in the West Village, and I looked at it, and it was legitimately like a box that was like 8x8, and then it had a mini fridge. And I remember that, and this was my like first stand up joke because I was like, "Where?" I joked with him. I was like, "Where's the living room?" Like joking, and he goes, "The West Village is your living room."
Oh my god! Like,
yeah. So yeah, that's we used to take that for granted. We'd be like, "Oh, I walk around New York," but now space is key, and this is a beautiful thing.
I would say the neighborhood leaves a little bit to be desired. It's not Williamsburg, but
a little different.
You know, everything's a trade-off. So the apartment itself, great. Very excited about it. And I want to thank the listeners. I got a bunch of really nice. We recorded this a week early, so the episode, last week's episode, came out today, and I already gotten a lot of really nice DMs about my braces and my lisp. I'm feeling encouraged by them. They're sweet. Yeah.
You sound a lot better than last week, but saying better insinuates that you weren't great last week. Like you were fine. I think I even got a few messages just being like, no, it's not that bad. It's kind of funny. Like I think it was,
right.
It's definitely funny to hear. Cause I actually went back and listened to the first few minutes. Just because I was like, oh, I have to relive those moments. It's just so funny to hear someone you don't expect to make a decision that way, to make a decision just so you were like, yeah, just throw the braces on me. Like, it's just such a...
Yeah, I figured, you know, like 12-year-olds can do it. I can do it.
Sure.
But yeah, it's been humbling, I would say.
How do they feel this week? Are you okay? Have you gotten used to it? Has it hurt less?
They're much better week two. I still have, I'm sure you can hear it, a slight speech impediment, but hopefully I'm working that out and it'll be totally gone soon or at least minimized.
I think you sound great.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's gotten easier to speak. So thank you for the support from the listeners. And also I took a gander at the UF DMs also, and a lot of people defending the Cheesecake Factory from last week's episode.
How crazy is it? I was wondering. So Cheesecake Factory was trending yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, weren't we just talking? You know, I forget about half the things we fucking say here.
They're so inconsequential. Yeah.
I know. I was like, I think we might have talked about Cheesecake Factory at some point and how much we liked it, right? We were talking about that.
Yeah. In the episode, we talked about how we liked it, but it's an odd first date.
Oh,
choice.
Yeah.
It was like red flag or deal breaker. The guy on the like in the prompt wrote about how he forgot his wallet at a Cheesecake Factory and then asked the girl non-ironically to go to the Cheesecake Factory.
I went on a rambling tangent about millennials and First Watch, the egg restaurant, the brunch restaurant. But so yesterday Cheesecake Factory was trending, and I think it was because there was like a tweet being like, what restaurant that you shouldn't like do you love? And like people were defending Cheesecake Factory, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, I like Cheesecake Factory. I'm down to go now. maybe not for a first date, but you know, Cheesecake Factory was ruined for me, I think, when they started putting like the calories on the menu.
To be honest, I haven't been since that happened, and that would ruin it for me. Like that ruined,
right? Especially
like Starbucks for me.
Their portions are like enormous, right?
Yeah.
So,
if you,
so it's like, oh, we could, I could get like the fettuccine Alfredo, and just that's my calories for the month.
that's it. You're good. You know? Enjoy the rest of the month. Water, right. Forever. Yeah, I like the Cheesecake Factory. It's just, here's the thing. And this is where podcasts are great and social media sucks, is that like Cheesecake Factory is both disgusting and amazing. And that's why, you know, and if you're listening right now, you could stop me at disgusting and go, oh, could say such a thing. But no, but then you'd have to play the rest of the episode. And I said it's amazing, too. Like Cheesecake Factory is amazing for a very specific situation, group of people. A first date, you'd be turned off. That's understandable. A night out with your boyfriend before you go see a movie at the mall, that's the most heartwarming thing in the world.
It's all about context.
It's all about context. And I think that's where like Twitter like does a disservice to people. It's like, and I hate Cheesecake Factory. It's like no one lives that way. None of us.
Right.
We all live mediumly, if it makes sense.
Exactly. Everything in the right place at the right time for most things.
Have you
anyway.
Gone to the speaking of restaurants, have you gone into any of the restaurants in Astoria?
It's Long Island City. But
I'm sorry.
Close. Back up.
Oh, you're at the less cool Astoria.
The less cool, yeah. It's like worse.
You're living in an office park.
We haven't really gone anywhere. It was like raining. I've gotten some takeout that's been very good. There's like a very good Indian place around here.
Perfect.
Now that we have our separate rooms, I can...
You eat in the living room, he eats in the office. There is a point. Do you feel like you're already the relationship is fuller? I don't want to say better. I don't think you guys were doing great before,
right.
I would assume. But do you think it's like more normalized with the extra space?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's like my coworker now in addition to my fiance. It's like very, it's nice. I like, you know what I mean? Like now, like I'll see, you know, he'll come out, get a snack or something, and I'll be like, how's your day going? Like instead of, sure. I know exactly how your day is going because you're sitting right fucking next to me all day. So, you know what I mean? It feels like almost like a little, it's like half of what going into an office would be like. It's still not like, you know, when you would go to work, you'd be gone the whole day. Be like, you wouldn't see them until that evening. Now it's like, I'll see you. It's like I'm passing you in the hallway.
It's more of a WeWork situation.
Right. Exactly.
yeah.
And I do think it's just more, it's nice to be able to miss someone a little bit. Like,
totally.
Just for, even if it's for like the morning. and I really like it so far. It's only been a week though. So we'll see.
Well, I'm excited for you guys. The apartment looks great from the, you know, 6 inches I can see through Zoom. And it looks amazing. What do you got going on at Betches? Anything cool?
We've got Betches Moms, which is already launched. You guys should check it out. Check out our new merchandise, our updated expansion pack of Red Flag or Deal Breaker. Go to shopbetches.com. Check out yours. Jared, what do you have going on?
I got the live show business is starting to pick up. I would love for you to come to the shows. They are all, every venue has their own rules and social distancing things going on. So I want you guys to feel comfortable. So reach out to the venue that I'm coming to and see what they're doing. But if you go to my website, I'm going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, May 6th through 9th at the Punchline. They've been so weird about putting up a ticket link. They like keep waiting, but I'll be there May 6th through 9th. So Atlanta, Georgia at the Punchline, May 6th through 9th. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Albany, May 14th through 15th. So Albany, New York. And then it's looking like Atlantic City and Baltimore are way out there on the calendar. But for now, I'm looking at it, Atlanta and Albany, and those are coming up. So, you know, get the group chat, get everyone involved. If you've been vaccinated, all that stuff. Like, and I got new material than the special. If also the special's out, if you want to go on YouTube, make a night of it, you can still do that. you know, all jokes about 2020, you know, get someone together. I think it's a great date night. Go, it's on YouTube, youtube.com/Jared Fried. And yeah, that's really what I got. Oh, also, like, I've gotten a lot of messages from New York people. New York is opening up. Like, it's happening. I'm at a lot of the clubs in the city. I don't put out my New York City dates just because I'm, like, working on, you know, material, and they're, like, short 15-minute sets. So I don't want to, like, set anybody up for, like, you know, I don't want to, like, over.
You're not doing, like, an hour.
Yeah, and, right. And I will be. I'm going to be at Gotham Comedy Club in the fall doing an hour. So that'll be, like, the worked out, like, you know, really good set. But then when I'm in New York, I'm, like, kind of, like, bouncing around these clubs. But for anyone listening, if you're in New York City, go support these clubs. They're so amazing. All the people that work there, like, I'm at the Comedy Cellar all the time. It's like seeing family again after a year. Like, I haven't seen these people in so long. And these clubs really just want to get back and going, and they want you to come laugh. People have already come. Like, I just want to thank everyone who's come already. Like, you know, the Comedy Cellar, they can't believe it. Like, every show, there's, like, multiple tables of, like, You Up fans. And
that's awesome.
Like, what? They're like, what happened in the pandemic? I was like, it seems like people are ready to go out. So I really appreciate that. So if you go to the Comedy Cellar's website, if you go to the Stan's website, if you go to the Stand Up New York, if you go to New York Comedy Club, if you go to any of their websites, I'll be on the calendar. So
check it out, guys. Jared, if you haven't heard him live, is amazing. He's always my personal favorite act of the evening. So definitely check it out. I will be there at some point. I'm excited. Yeah,
we're talking about getting you out one of these nights. But yeah, the shows have been fun. Like, weird at first. You know, there's, like, partitions and stuff. And it's a little weird, but it's fun. Like, it's definitely, like, you could feel in the beginning of the show, people are tense. Like, they're not sure how to be in public. And then towards the end, you're like, oh, this is New York. I remember this, you know?
Yeah. And people, you know, from what I've seen here, everyone's getting vaccinated, so I feel like it's going to be an exciting time for New York comedy and just, like, going just out, doing things.
Just everything. Yeah. Like, when people are like, New York is back, I would say New York is back weather-dependent. When it is...
Definitely, yeah.
When it is shitty out, you're like, man, this pandemic sucks. When it is nice out, you're like, Mardi Gras. Like, it is...
There's a lot of drinking, outdoor drinking.
Oh my, and people are drinking. Like, it is happening. So it's an exciting and weird and anxious ridden time that I think we're going in the right direction.
I think it's going to be a really fun summer. Knock on wood. But
I think so too.
Oh my God, it was so funny. We put up Maddie, she runs our U Up page and produces the show, and she put up a thing to, like, send J&J your... like, their texts, and we'll say like how we would have responded or how we think they should respond.
Oh, I like that. That could be a good segment. So you received a text. How would we respond?
Yeah. What do you think is the best response? Which I think it's going to be really fun, but it's funny because everyone was like, the Johnson & Johnson vex, like, they J&J is, like, not, it's like, are we J&J or is J&J the recently defunct, supposedly Johnson & Johnson vaccine?
Not to laugh at such a serious subject, but it is funny that because with Instagram, there are some people that are just on there for Instagram and they're like, I'm not a podcast person. We're trying to turn those Instagram people into podcast listeners if they're just there for the joke. So it is funny that they're like, who? What?
Who? Johnson is going to answer my texts?
Yeah, that is the most embarrassing part of having some sort of platform where someone thinks you're more famous than you are. I was out on the street. So I got sent sneakers. Sent Nike sneakers by Nike, the marketing team. And they're
Nike,
like,
sneakers, Nike.
Okay. So I'll put a word in. I'll let them know. So someone is a fan of this show, I'm sure, and they sent me Nike sneakers, and I was like, and I looked at them, and they're Air Maxes, like, they're very Gen Z. Gen Z just all looks like they just found all their parents' clothes from the 90s and threw them all on at once.
Like, so normcore?
It's really normcore, and these Air Maxes, to me, I opened them up and I was like, I don't know if this is me. Like, I was like,
You're too cool for you?
They have fur on them. They have, like, it's different textures and patterns. Oh, wow. And listen, they have fur on them? I'll show them to you. They're actually kind of, they just don't look me. And I put them on and I sent a picture to my brother and he goes, those are in right now. Those are hot. And I'm like, okay. I go downstairs. I see someone I know and their first reaction is, oh my God, those shoes are amazing. And I go,
wow.
And like, that's how little I know about what's in the, you know, what's cool right now. I know more zeitgeist than I know cool. So like I said to her, I go, well, Nike actually sent it to me. Like, I wasn't trying to brag, but I was like, it's kind of cool. Like, I was like, I don't really get them. I don't think they're very me, but I figured I'd wear them. We start walking, and another guy in the street goes, oh my God, look, those shoes are amazing, man. And the person I'm with goes, yeah, he's a famous comedian. They send them to him. And I was like, what are you doing to me? And the guy's like, and the guy looks at me. He's like, who are you? What's going on? And it's like, I'm nobody. And like, I immediately had to be like, I'm nobody.
It's
I have
Adam
nothing.
Sandler.
Right. I was like, I had to just be like, no, I'm nobody. I'm a loser. I'm not even funny. I'm an accountant. I swear. It's just like, right. Like, I wanted out of that conversation.
That's
so
funny.
Badly.
Do your parents do that to you a lot?
Oh, my mom is
right.
My mom, I think this is with every mom. Like, yeah. No matter who your mom is, them explaining your job to someone else is like nails on a chalkboard. Like, if you're not doctor, lawyer, banker, and I'm sure even those professions, it's hard to hear, but like, my mom is like, when I first started doing it, it would be like, he's a writer, laughs, I don't know. Like, it's like,
that's really
total.
Funny.
But now it's like, yeah, he's, my mom does this. She'll go, do you know the Betches? That's what
Aww.
She's. As a call out to, as a frame of reference to who I am.
I love that. My dad also does it like that. He also doesn't really know what I do, but we'll just say that. He'll be like, so the nurse in the hospital follows you on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm like, lovely, very lovely. Not me personally, but you know, company.
The royal you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been to therapy for many years, and one of the benefits of having been to therapy is that I've learned to get to know myself better. And so I know just how much social interaction I can take before I need to revert back into my shell. So it's really helped me optimize the time that I have out and socializing with friends, and also helped me like know when it's time to just go home and be on my own. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you to achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So let's do the show. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. All right. So our first question is about using the additional features on a dating app, like Super Like, Hinge, Roses, etc. And do they make you look despy, as the reader slash you have popularized?
Looking a little despy.
Yeah,
despy, we're bringing. It's going to be despy summer.
I love it.
So basically it's asking, is right. using a feature on the app desperate? Is it
one of the paid features, I assume? Or like, I don't know if you necessarily always have to pay for them, but let me read the email and then we'll get into it. Okay. Hey, Jared and Juliana, Hinge added a new feature where you see a few quote unquote standouts, and in order to match with them, you have to send them a rose a la Bachelor. I always think it's a little despy when guys send me a rose. Jared, do you feel the same way? All my attractive matches are in the standouts, so I'm debating sending a rose, but don't want to be giving off the wrong message. Am I overthinking this? Maybe. Thanks for the help.
I don't think this person's overthinking it, but I think they're thinking of it from a very female point of view. And some of these are genderless, these questions, but this feels very gendered, if it makes any sense. Because the way she, first of all, we have to define. There's a difference between, she's saying on Hinge there are such a thing as standouts, and then there's such a thing as giving a rose.
Rose.
Those are two different things. So giving a rose is what?
So basically the way I've asked around, mostly guys I've asked this to, and so the standouts are like the people, they're essentially like the hotter people on the apps, right?
So
from what I hear, this isn't me saying it, I'm not on Hinge, but from what I hear, it's like these are like the people who are like a little out of the average person's league, let's say, hotness wise. I don't know about their personalities. And so they put them in this category. It's like people, but they don't let you match with them unless you get like one free rose a week. So you can use that or you can pay for more. Mm. But basically the way that, like, from what I've heard is that the people in your standouts are like people who are like, again, like the hottest person on the app.
Well, sorry to interrupt, but the idea is that they're people that other people have liked a lot, and there is a thought that they are kind of tailored to you, but we don't know
your
how
type,
much
yes
your type quote unquote, but we don't know how much is, we don't know, that's their marketing, we don't know how much of it is tailored to you and how much of it is that they get a lot of likes. So
right,
when the right,
I think it's
when,
a little bit of both.
If it's a, we don't know if it's 70-30, we don't know if it's 50-50. But when someone writes in and says, all my attractive matches are in the standouts, I would assume that it's mostly due to them getting liked a lot.
Right. Not just by you, but by everyone.
Yes.
And again,
we have to, and that's the thing, when my dad always tells me, and something to remember for dating apps, if I'm thinking it, you're thinking it. If you're thinking it, I'm thinking it. So it's like when they say like, oh, all my attractive people are in the standouts, that nothing happens by accident. Let's make sure we remember that.
Exactly. That's definitely not an accident. That's on purpose. And then also, like, you will show up in that category for people who, like, again, these are from guys I'm hearing this, is that the girls that show up for them are girls that wouldn't necessarily be matching with them.
Yeah, because they've been liked by 1,000 dudes and they're hot.
Right. But likewise, they're in the like standout category from girls they're not necessarily like interested in matching with.
Yeah, because this is
so I'm saying what they're saying is like when they get a rose, it's usually from someone they wouldn't necessarily really want to match with.
Sure.
But they were like, if I was interested and thought she was attractive, I wouldn't think it was desperate at all. I'd be like down. But it does just so happen because of the way that the system works is that like everyone, the person you can give a rose to is like kind of out of your league. And like the person who would give you a rose, you're like, again, this is just based on like the swipingness, like you're a little bit out of their league. So the system doesn't really work to like set up like the tens with the tens.
It's an icky conversation. And most truthful conversations are a bit icky because what we're saying is you don't look desperate. You just don't look like someone they would date. And that's a tough thing to like. Because I love the email, because the email is like, all my attractive matches are in the standouts, so I'm debating sending. It's like, yeah, those are there for a reason. And it's a sad reality, but it's also like, I think the major thing is like, the more you're truthful yourself, the more you don't get out of, like, you know, the less delusional you'll become. I think that's like, right. I think all of this has to like involve awareness. So like when you say like the guys you've asked, like they don't find it desperate, but they also are sitting there going, okay, good to know. And maybe they won't take the rose. Maybe they'll take the rose because, you know, there's no guy is sitting there getting a rose thinking it's desperate. They're right. getting a rose thinking she wants to hook up with me.
And that's what I got gender, to from
that's
right.
the gendered part of it that I was kind of right. getting to.
I agree with that. I kind of liken it to like initiating the conversation on Bumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a lot right. like that.
In the sense of like, I know you're down for a guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It serves to a guy's laziness, which is not really what women would like to be serving. And again, to like go back to like the female side of this, like I would ask you, like, if you saw a guy you weren't attracted to and he sent you the rose, like, are you thinking that's, like, it's like almost like, would you think that's being desperate for a guy?
Would I think it's being desperate?
Personally, because right. here's the thing, like, I think when she says, do I look desperate? She's relating how she's felt when she's gotten a rose. Like the way you set this up is perfect because we're saying that a rose is usually being sent by someone who doesn't get liked as much as the one that's getting sent the rose.
Right.
So she's saying, I'm getting, so when she says, do I look desperate? She's saying that that means when she's gotten the rose from someone who hasn't gotten as many likes as her, it feels desperate to her.
Right. But again, I think if she saw a match on there that sent her a rose that she was like, oh, this guy like looks like my type and he's like seems interesting, she wouldn't be like, well, he like paid to send me this thing. So like totally he agree. Must be some desperate loser. It's kind of like no, and also like that mentality, which I've had before, I understand it because it does. It's like,
sure.
But that mentality sort of goes along with the thinking of like effort is like lame.
I right? agree. And that's which not is, right.
Right. Which doesn't really set you up to like find a like real relationship. Like the people who are like who are paying, the people who are, that's why people like to almost join dating apps that charge you, because they're like the people who like would pay for it are serious. So if you go on the app with this like I'm too cool for the app mentality, which again I used to do, I get the sentiment. I understand like that notion of like someone who's like trying too hard is like a loser. But like if you're doing that, you're really saying like someone who's like vulnerable and putting themselves out there and like wants to actually find a date or a match or a relationship is lame. Like that doesn't really set you up to be in like healthy, good relationships. No. If you're turned off by effort.
I mean, I agree with you. And I think yeah. like if this function was called shoot your shot, it would be more honest.
Right.
But Hinge can't be like, hey, likeless losers, you know, shoot your shot at these people getting the likes. Like they could never say that because it's just too icky. But that so I to me, like I agree with you 100%. Like there's nothing desperate about sending the rose. There's nothing desperate. But be aware about the dynamic of the situation is more the point that you have to get to. Be aware that like they're not turning down because you were desperate. It's just not the match for them. It's not
right.
They're not they're not denying the rose because, oh my God, look at this likeless loser. They're not thinking of it that way. But if someone accepts the rose, you also have to keep in mind that like, you know, a lot of guys will use this to their advantage. They know you like them. They know that you're maybe more excited about them than the next girl who doesn't send a rose.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something to keep in mind. Like, so like, you know, to me, the rose function is almost like having sex on the first date. Some people treat it that way where they're like, because I'm a rose person or because I had sex on the first date, I can't own my standard. I can't have any choice in the matter. And it's like, no, if you send the rose and then they talk to you and then you guys have a great time, you still should want to date. Like, and I know that sounds stupid, but I think some people like hold the super like or the rose against themselves somehow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I think it's that's a great analogy in terms of like, you can show you're interested without being like, and I'll take anything.
Yeah, you could be yeah. interested without being taken advantage of. And I think like, you know, to me, these apps leave a lot of room to be taken advantage of and of your feelings and of your vulnerability and of your like genuine like, hey, you're cute. I want to go on this. I'd love to go on a first date. And they're like, well, meet me out. And you're like, okay, I did super rose you. So, you know, like it can very easily go down that road. I don't think anyone who does that is like a crazy person. I just think like, beware. As most things as most of the advice we give, we don't give a lot of rules. We just say beware. Like that's, you just have to be.
Right. Just like you could show someone that you're, just because you start off showing them like that you're highly interested doesn't mean you have to, again, like take whatever what they want.
Yeah.
You don't have to just go with it.
And highly interested doesn't, you know, I think a lot of the times when you're highly interested in someone, like that's when the emotional masturbation starts. You go, well, I can see it. So you stay longer.
Right.
And you start like, you know, basically you start like counting on the prospect instead of seeing the reality. So I think if you think of a like emotional masturbation, like these super likes and these roses are almost like vibrators for the emotional masturbation. Because now it's like, oh, he accepted the super like, he accepted or she accepted right. the rose. Now I can really see it. And she looks like my type. And she went to the college that I know and she's from the area that I love. And so I think it like almost
it's enhances. The beginning of our love story.
Exactly. Yeah. And it enhances this. And you're like, oh, well, at the rehearsal dinner, we'll talk about the super like or the rose was given. And like she'll do a rose pun and we'll talk about The Bachelor. And it's like the message for me is calm down. You know, like right. that, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's good advice. Take everything with like, again, no rule about the desperate thing in the sense that like the only thing to look out for is, you know, making sure you continue to own whatever your standard is despite
and
whatever,
yeah, I think it's like important to go on these dating apps and be like, I want a first date and I won't settle for any first date that doesn't feel good about going on. Like if you start at that, if you wrote that on your wall, it'd be a pretty weird thing to see as a guy coming back to your apartment. But like if you can you imagine if a painting on the wall is like, I will only go on a first date that I feel good about. And it's like you slap it like it's Rudy slapping the Notre Dame sign. But I think if you go on these apps going, yeah, I'm only going to be on this dating app to go on dates I feel good about, then you're going to like weed through a lot of bullshit that is never going to happen. And I think that's a good mindset to go on. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code podcast15.
Hey, you want to do some awkward sex?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Keep sending these in. We love your... And also, the You Up Podcast Instagram account, we mentioned it before, is doing such great things with these awkward sex videos. Go like them and go enjoy them because it's like a fun retelling with like memeable pictures.
Exactly.
Hi, J&J. Thanks for getting me through the 9 to 5 for all the advice. Huge fan. Had tickets to see Jarrett in Boston at Laugh in March, canceled due to COVID. Not canceled. I will be there in the fall. So I'm coming to Boston in the fall. She writes, but we'll be back as soon as I can. Funny encounter I had going after going on a date with a guy a few months before shutdown. He was the gym teacher at the school I was teaching at the time. It was a subbing gig, so my time there was limited to about a week, not a dating a coworker situation. Same age, and we had a few good interactions about mutual friends, interests, and some light flirting here and there. And he seemed like a cool guy, so when he asked me out, I said yes. Date was fun, dinner, drinks, and he invited me to his place. I felt like the chemistry was good, and I wanted to see what happened, so I went home with him. We started to hook up, and everything was fine. I was really getting into it. Seconds after entering me...
Both entertaining and entering.
Isn't that jarring to hear seconds after entering me? I don't know. Is that a phrase women use?
I think we use it like as a joke. Like, okay. It's like that. It reminds me of that Bridesmaids thing where the woman's complaining. She's like, I just want to watch The Daily Show without him entering me. It's
like, that's funny. Seconds after entering me, his quote unquote dirty talk started to take a bizarre turn. All of a sudden, he started to refer to his dick as produce/food. He went on for several minutes while breathlessly thrusting inside me, saying things like, you want this eggplant? You want my cucumber inside of you? How do you like this sausage, baby? I swear he went through most of the slightly cylinder-shaped foods you could find at your local grocery store. At one point, I remember him flipping me over to try doggy and saying, you want to take my banana from behind, babe?
Oh my God.
I even recall him asking me how his bacon felt. Bacon?
I've never heard that one.
Bacon is all, I mean, I've never heard bacon. All these make sense. Bacon is the one, like, if this was SATs, like, which one doesn't belong?
Bacon.
I'd take out the bacon. Maybe he was going soft and he was like, it's now less banana, more bacon. It was too much. I couldn't concentrate on orgasm. And almost started to laugh a little. He ended up trying to come on my tits, but missed, and it got in my eye.
Wow. Clean sorry up for that. In aisle yeah. 5.
Got some ketchup that squirted out of the bottle. Oh, God. But missed and got in my eye. No harm, no foul, but I definitely think back and laugh at this from time to time. Is this a thing with guys? Do they like to personify their penises? Anyways, I hope you get a kick out of this. Really nice guy, but not the hookup I expected from everything but the kitchen sink. I love that sign off. Jordana, what do you think?
This is interesting. So he named all the phallic foods and bacon.
And bacon.
Do you think this is like a kink of his or like it's just
I don't think it's a kink.
He's hungry.
I think he's starving. He's just, yeah. You know, when you use the eggplant one, that like I feel like eggplant is one that you wouldn't have used 10 years ago, but you would now because of the emoji.
Emoji, yeah.
But I do think like when guys are trying to dirty talk, we're not the most like the most creative in the world. Like, you know, so it's like, and we also don't know what we, I think men have this like tangential knowledge of female sexuality that is way, like, we know little bits. So we try and take that little bit and kind of run with it. So we know that like, you have to go to a place and that dirty talk is good and saying things will help this. But then we're just like, we never really research past that. So like, we're just like, so he's just sitting there being like, okay, get this avocado, you know, get this, you know, eggplant. Like he's just going through his grocery list. He's like, ah,
you know, like, oh my God.
Have you ever had this happen?
I've heard dirty talk, not with like, vegetables. It seems like, oh, and me, it seems like a whole meal he went through. Eggplant and cucumber and sausage and bacon. It's like a nice little breakfast.
What if he, what if the next date he cooked for her and it was this whole meal? It was like a bacon avocado
and a banana from behind.
And for dessert, bananas Foster. You know, like it just everything hit on cue. I think that his biggest problem, like anytime I've dirty talked, it's been me basically repeating myself because I'm not really sure. You like you want to stay between the normal lane so that you don't get made fun of in this way. But it feels like this guy stayed in between
you're not
the lanes.
On the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So right. Someone doesn't email us about me. But it feels like his biggest mistake wasn't like if I was to stay in my lane, it would be like, you know, you feel so good. It would be more like
right standard. Bless you.
I'm dealing with allergies, I think. It would be more standard. Yes. His problem is that he went themed as opposed to just standard.
Right.
So he went food themed. Like if he was, that's what makes it weird. It's not that he dirty talked. Like if he had said like, you're about to get this like eggplant, like and stopped at eggplant and then
went,
moved to like huge cock, it would be, that would fine. Be no-
Right, that's the gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah, if he salt bayed some eggplant in there, we'd be okay with it. The problem is the theme. Like, if he was just like, like I kept imagining if someone was just like, "You ready to get this screwdriver? Want some Phillips head? Want want the hammer? Want that flathead screwdriver? Do you want the, you know like
right? Like it's also like produce is so un. I don't think of it as sexual, like at all. Like
no,
if you're gonna pick a theme. Pick something a little more like sex adjacent.
I don't know what the theme would be. Like, could you go woods? Like, you ready for this oak? Want to get some pine in you? I had a couple drinks.
That'd
it's
a
balsa
better.
Wood tonight. Yeah, I think.
Don't watch out for the walnuts.
The minute you get to the third one of the theme is the minute you've gone too far, I think. I think you could have done banana and cucumber, but now beyond that, it's a
then
bad
you move. Start to think like it could be fetish or something.
Yes, that's where you get, yeah, exactly.
Right, but I think I would probably say something after, but I don't think it'd be a deal breaker for me.
Definitely not a deal breaker. If someone went with themes, I would be like, what? Definitely have like, a question.
So if a girl did this and she was like, my Humintoshin's ready for you.
I think that's the most Jewish reference you could find.
I always thought a Humintoshin looks like a vagina.
I think you're right.
Right.
I totally agree. But here's the sad truth of it is like the vagina ones for food are almost a little, you know, kind of off-putting.
Okay.
Like anytime I hear taco, I'm like, vagina, yeah. I'm like, it's enough. I don't.
Well, it just sounds a little like crude, I think. It doesn't sound like
it's
sensual.
Yeah, it sounds like you're immature and crude.
Right.
Like if like I was like that's kind of the beauty of the male penis is that like it could be compared to foods that aren't wet. I think the wetness is what would hurt.
Are tacos wet?
I mean, yeah.
I guess. Okay.
Like you know, like it'd have sauce on. I think of
This conversation really devolved.
Well, I'm just saying, and this all sounds bad. Like, I don't mean to like sound like a bad, but I'm saying like if a woman was like, put it in my taco, I'd be like, okay, I guess. What would be some other ones? Like, like, you know, the my clam.
Like, oh, clam. Yeah. I don't like any of those.
Are just, yeah, the female ones yeah. are just like a little jarring, I think.
I agree.
That's not fair, but life isn't fair. You know, I'm not, you know, like.
I mean, I would say in the grand scheme of like the inequalities among the sexes, this ranks pretty low.
What would you call this?
I'd call this the fairway fuck. What do you call
it? Because they're from Boston, I called it the stop and shop sex.
Okay,
stop
I
and
like
shop
that.
Is a big.
Oh, wow. You also had a chain.
Yeah, I also had a chain. Also, Star Market Man. The Roach Brothers Romp. Everyone listening from Boston is like really enjoying these references.
They have Stop and Shop in New York.
Do they have Stop and Shop?
Yeah.
So there's Stop and Shop
on Long Island.
Stop and Shop, Star Market, and Roach Brothers are the ones I know. The Roach Brothers Romp is the most proud one for me because that's like a local market to Needham, Mass. So where I'm from.
Shout out.
Shout out, babe. Send us some merch. I also had the produce penis, the produce punk, and that's all I had.
I like that. These are all great. If you guys have any other ones, email them to us, uup@etches.com.
Yeah, keep sending them in. Our emails are getting so good. I like right, Jordana? Like they're like really like good.
They're great, and Maddie has taken over sourcing them, and she's killing it. She's doing an amazing job. So just know that she will be reading your emails. So get on her good side, yeah, if you want to be chosen via the Instagram too.
If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Let's do another one. You ready?
All right. The next one. Hi, J&J. Love the podcast for lots of reasons, but I'm thankful for a place to come to listen to stories of other 30-somethings still struggling through dating. I've been online dating for a while now without a ton of success, but I'm trying hard to keep it up. The problem I've been having is that some of these guys are too nice. Insert eye roll. They're so nice, and I don't feel any kind of spark or excitement after the first couple of dates. I'm bored. On paper, when I'm describing them to friends, they're a lot of what I'm looking for. Christian, but not the crazy kind. Good job. Family and community oriented. Kind. Attentive via text, etc. But when it comes to physical stuff, we are sitting on opposite sides of the couch, not kissing, or at most, maybe sitting with an arm over my shoulder. I feel like I do my part to invite them to sit next to me and stuff, but that doesn't make me feel confident that they're going to smack my ass without prompting when the time comes. When asked, they all say they like me, but are trying to be respectful because I seem sweet and like I wouldn't want to move too fast. After that feedback, I changed my profile descriptor to say I'm looking for a quote unquote Christian who can talk some shit, among other things. I've been out with guys who were trying to dry hump me by date two, and that wasn't ideal either. But where's the happy medium?
I feel like Christian who can, happy medium is the perfect description. Like, it's very hard to find that. But it's funny when you like put up Christian who could talk some shit, I'm like, oh my God, you're going to like everyone that like a bunch of QAnon people. Like, I'm just like, there's
That's
no
really
middle
funny.
Ground. It doesn't go like it's, especially because I think what she's writing about is so hard. Like before we get to the end of the email, but like, it's so hard. But like when she wrote Christian who can talk some shit, I'm like, man, you're going to get like way one side of the aisle that you didn't want. And then I'd like a Christian is another side of the aisle that you don't
wholesome,
want at all
right,
too. Yeah. Okay. But go on.
Agreed. Sorry. It's tough to find the perfect middle ground. For some context, my most recent relationships have been one where I'm doing the pursuing and I'm kept on edge at all times, i.e. no telling when we will see each other or whether or not they care. So tons of super unhealthy passion. With my baggage in mind, how long should I be sticking things out to wait for some sort of spark? And how soon is too soon for me to say, are you going to kiss me or what? Appreciate you both. Desperate to be pursued an ass-smacking nice guy. By an ass-smacking nice guy.
Yeah, this is, I think this email is great. I think it's funny. And I think it's like very relatable.
Totally.
And it's relatable from both ends of the spectrum, like from male, female. Like, I think a lot of guys are looking for someone that they're like, yeah, I want someone in the same way she's putting it. I want someone who's fun, but like not a like out of their mind mess, you know? Like,
right.
And, you know, I think with the dating apps, it can get depressing because there's just more. And especially if she's in that Christian zone, she's gonna like the type of more she gets is gonna be different than maybe, you know, someone else who's not in the Christian market, so to speak. Do you know what I mean?
You mean the type of more?
Like, I like she's getting more of the nice guy who sits on the opposite side of the couch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because, you know, she's putting her religion out there, which is great.
Right.
I think that's fine. But like, you're going to get like, it's like, there's positives and negatives to everything in life. And you have to admit to what the negatives are. And, you know, again, wholesome Christian guy isn't a negative to some, but it is to this woman. She's writing in. She's like, I want someone who will smack my ass. Like, okay, that is a lovable and perfect way to describe yourself. Because, and I agree with it. Like, I'm like, what do you think? Like, I want to first say, like, I understand where she's coming from, because it's like, you know, this is like kind of in the realm of you got to kiss a lot of frogs. But like,
right.
How do you make sure you find your frog?
Totally. I think it's, like you said, it's a delicate balance. And one thing she writes is like, that I thought was interesting. My most recent relationships have been one where I'm doing the pursuing and I'm kept on edge at all times. So she's dating guys who like aren't that consistent, aren't that like ready to commit, it seems, or like, or kind of keep her on edge, which reminds me again of that, like, I've talked about this when I've talked about that book Attached, that like anxious avoidant trap, where mm-hmm. it's like, and again, I think this is a human thing where it's like, you want the excitement of like being with someone who you're not sure if they're super into you. But you know, long-term you want like the stability of someone who you know will be around and who you can have a consistent, actually loving relationship with.
Well, she totally right. And I think she's getting the excitement out of they don't want to hang out with me as much as the other guys. Like,
right.
She's like looking for excitement, but she's getting it from a place that isn't really where she wants it. She's getting it from the place of like, oh, the will they, won't they, you know,
right.
As opposed to like the ass smacking, which is really what she wants, you know, like, and from a guy who will wake up in the morning and have coffee with her, like, and answer a text. Like, that's
right. And a lot of the times it can feel like they're very much like intertwined. Like, you'll only get the like ass smacking guy if you also take the like, he's not texting me back situation.
Sure.
But I do think these nice guys could be the ass smacking guy.
Yeah. I think her biggest issue when I see this, it doesn't like, I think, and this is going to be some like, this is my interpretation of the email. She needs more date foreplay. And
right.
She needs more sexy dates. She doesn't need
I
couch
was going to say that. Yeah.
You're doing too little before the couch. The couch should be earned, not deserved.
Totally.
So like the couch, you know, and by earned, I mean, you know, doing a great date and then going, hey, let's go to another bar and having a sexy time, him touching your leg, him making that move. Like, I think she's just trying to get to the couch to see if they'll smack her ass and then she's getting disappointed. You need to like have a fun date that tells you he's going to smack your ass. Does it make sense?
Totally. I mean, in Logan Urie, we had her on the podcast. She has that that book called How to Not Die Alone. And one of the big things she's a behavioral scientist. So one of the big things she talks about is that context really matters. So you're not going to think of someone like the same way if you go on like a 7 a.m. coffee date with them as if you go to like a candlelit dinner or sure. like a bar that's like cool. Like you think that stuff doesn't matter. Like all that matters is the person, but that's not really true. Mm. Like the context actually can affect how you feel about someone and how like the mood kind of shows itself to be whatever it is. I mean, it's interesting. You think about like The Bachelor. It's like how much of the everyone's obsessed with The Bachelor and how much of it is because they're put in these like extremely romantic sure. settings where they're, you know, they're at a, you know, they're in Thailand on a boat versus like what they would really be like dating like software salesman Nick Vile. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what would it actually be like? It's totally different context. The context can really make you more attracted to someone or less. So I definitely agree with you. I think that's a great point. Like, maybe like these nice guys could have like a little bit more of a spark or like more like bad feeling about, or what's the word? Not, it's really like sex, I guess, like a sexier
sure.
vibe in a sexier setting.
Yeah. And this goes back to the beginning of the podcast of not going on dates. You're not excited to go on. Like, and I know that can sound ruthless. Hey, I've been talking to this guy for 2 weeks and then he made a plan that kind of sucked. Hey, sucky plan, dude. I can't go. This was nice, but this isn't, I'm looking for something different. And then they're going to come back and be mad at you and say, how would you know? You don't even know. I know. I think like this is like, she has to be more okay with no's and going on the dates that like she's pumped to go on. Like, and to your point, like we want to, you know, I want to get taken to drinks. Like if you're not someone that's like, hey, I know this bar, it's really fun, it's going to be dimly lit and we're going to get, you know, and come meet me at 8. If you're not getting that, then you're not getting anything. Like, it's not like
right.
that's it's that or nothing. Because if you're going to like the coffee shop and then going, okay, when he gets to my couch, I'll see if he'll slack my ass. That's not how it's going to work. Like, you're probably not going to, that's not, you're waiting till the last second. You're not even giving this a right. shot to be something.
Totally. And I'll give an example actually of mine and Mike's first date.
Mm.
Where like Mike, I would say is like probably a bit nicer than the average guy I would mm-hmm. have gone for before him. Like maybe like more hesitant to make a move than like some other men I've been with, let's say.
Okay.
But it's funny how a miscommunication on our first date actually like made him make that move and like made me more attracted to him, that if it didn't happen, maybe I would be like, he's too nice for me. Like, so we were at this bar, I remember, and there was like uneven seating. So like one person was sitting like on like a bench type thing and the other person had to sit on like the opposite. It was like a little lower, like his seat was like a little lower. So it was like almost awkward seating height difference. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So we started off the date.
Not a great look on a first day for a dude. It's like, right. I'll take the booster
the
seat,
low,
please.
Poof, like the low, like poof. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, it was kind of like almost like one person's on seats. An ottoman and the other person's on a chair or like a,
yeah.
whatever. And then I went to the bathroom and I came back and then I guess he like, I forget exactly what happened, but I said to him, like he had wound up sitting like on this bench. Like when I got back from the bathroom, he was sitting on the bench and I was like, oh, like I was wondering like when you were going to do that. Cause like the seating was weird. And I think he took that to mean like, oh, I wanted him to like come sit closer to me. So he like wound up making a move. Like we made out in the bar on our first date. And I afterwards, like many months later, he was like, yeah, you like basically asked me to kiss you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, I didn't. He's like, you were like, what took you so long? And I was like, I meant like, what took you so long to not be sitting in that like awkward position that you were originally sitting on, like sitting below me, looking up at me.
Interesting. I love that.
So it's funny. Well, I just do wonder, like, maybe he wouldn't have made the move if not for that like weird miscommunication. And maybe we, you know, I would have been like less excited or less turned on by that because that's one of the things I thought was hot, that he like got up there and he was like making the move.
Totally. And that maybe you wouldn't be in Long Island City right now if that move didn't happen.
Wow. Where would I be?
Well, I think that's an important, I love that story because, you know, you challenged his ego a little bit. Like, you know, I was wondering when you'd make that move and you meant couch and he thinks to like get closer to me, you know, right. like, and you know, maybe that's like, you know, like that mistake is kind of like the best thing you can teach someone out there. Like this woman, like, you know, there's a little element of like, let people know when you're feeling it, you know, yeah. like
give them a chance. Like even if they're not the most aggressive person, I think with encouragement, people can like surprise you.
Yeah. I mean, like I was like, even if a guy takes a chance to touch your leg, I was hoping you were like, I was wondering when you were going to get closer. Like that is right. such a nice thing to hear from a guy. That's like, you know, it's a form of, you know, letting him know, like, I am into what you're doing. And, you know, again, the other thing for this woman is that touching a leg in a bar is the fun part. Like, all of that buildup is the fun part towards that gets you to ass smacking. I think the more comfortable you are, like, you guys made out in a bar on the first date, the more comfortable you are to do that with someone, the better things are going to be later on. So maybe like, I think like sometimes like, and I know I'm making assumptions when she writes the Christian stuff where it's like, it's okay to be sexy within the realms of being classy. You can be sexy and classy at the same time publicly. And right. I think like she's pushing all the sexiness to the couch as opposed to like seeing how the sexiness can work out in public.
I agree. And I think, yeah, I think if you like, if you kind of state what you want without, you don't have to say like, kiss me now or like, can sure. you kiss me? But you can say something that will make someone feel like a little more confident.
Yeah, absolutely. A whisper in the ear is like such a hot thing. Like even just saying, I think you look so good tonight. Like right. what an assuring, you know, sexy, hot thing in a bar where it's dimmed, you know, like, right?
Yeah. That's great. I mean, those are like, I agree with you, the best moments of dating like that.
Yeah.
That feeling like right before.
Yeah. So I think she has to do more before things or allow someone to like do more. And also there's like actually more safe, like you're in a bar, you're in public. You can see like if there is that connection and let it build and not necessarily need that to happen on a couch where, you know, it looks like a therapist's office where you're on one side and they're on the other side.
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it. Okay. Red flag or deal breaker? All right. Someone wrote, the Quick Hits episode was amazing. You guys are truly the best. I'm glad we did get a lot of positive feedback about the Quick Hits. So that was great.
We'll definitely do it again. Maybe that's a Sunday special type of episode where we do 10, or someone said to call it the Venti, which I thought was a good idea.
Oh, I like that.
We'll definitely do it again. I love that, you know, how would we answer the text segment? We should do that on the pod too.
We should. Like, you just need a tiny bit of context, and I feel like we could really draft these pretty well.
I love writing a text.
Yeah, and then we send them back to you like 3 weeks after you submit it so that you can send it back to them.
Totally normal.
Okay, here's the red flag or deal breaker. We matched on an app. I searched his Instagram, and he has less than 2,000 followers and has a blue verified check mark. It looks like he was drafted for a pro baseball team in 2017, has worked in corporate finance since 2018. I feel embarrassed for him and would not want to date someone who thinks they're this special. Thoughts?
This person's perception is so off. Like, I feel embarrassed for him and would not want to date someone who thinks they're this special.
How does she know what he feels?
Well, she has a very big misunderstanding of how the blue check mark works. Some people see that blue check mark and they're like, they think that like that comes with a pension. Like,
they're knighted by the queen.
Yeah, I have health benefits that come with the blue check mark. No, all it is, first of all, the blue check mark just comes one day. Like, it's not like you petition for it. You can petition for it, but you do it through like a manager and an agent, and they ask for you to send like, you know, newspaper clippings to show that you're an actual public figure. That's kind of the, I think, how it worked for Instagram when I did it.
Yeah, we had like publicists do it or something.
In yeah.
realm, yeah.
And but I would say for especially an athlete, it's maybe even different. Because for an athlete, it's like probably even more different and less thirsty than my version of it. My version is the thirstiest, probably. His is I'm an athlete, and then I have, you know, 2,000 followers, and I have an agent. And part of the agent's job is to make you as happy as possible, and to deliver you things. So maybe an agent looked at him and was like, "Hey, and I got your blue check mark," and he's probably like, "Okay, fuck it, who cares?" But I would say none of this lands in the I think I'm special zone.
Right. I mean, it could, but there's no way to know that without any more context. You wouldn't just know that from seeing, like, maybe she's right and he has been like aggressively petitioning for the blue check mark, like, because he has something to prove to the world that he is special. Like, sure, maybe that's true. You could also be that way and not have a blue check mark. And like, there's just, I think that's, it's a big stretch for her to automatically be like, this guy's like a try hard, like loser thinks he's special because he has this because he doesn't have that many followers, but he has a blue check mark.
He was a professional baseball player. So it makes sense. It's all tracks. If someone said to me, "Ooh, you have a blue check mark. You must think you're special." I would think that they have very big confidence issues and they're someone that I shouldn't go on a date with.
Right.
This red flag deal breaker is a deal breaker for me.
Deal breaker for someone who questions your blue check mark.
Yeah, questions how much that fits into my confidence level. Like,
yeah, I mean, and when I first got my blue check mark back in the day.
Tell us about the day.
Because I've been famous for a long time. I had about 2,000 followers.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm in the same boat as this guy.
I would also say every time I've gotten a blue check mark, I make the same joke. I say, I like screenshot it and then I tweet out, "Please, none of you look at me in the eye. Finally, I am as important as I knew I was." Like, I make that joke that I am
right.
a super important person because I'm not. It's insane. Let's right, do another. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
Red flag or deal breaker, he talks to his Alexa device mid-makeout sesh and during sex. I went on 3 dates with this guy, and on the 4th, we decided to have dinner at his place. After dinner, we are on his couch making out, and he pulls away to say, "Alexa, dim the lights." He's like Tony Stark.
What does he think he is? Who's Tony Stark?
Iron Man, the billionaire playboy.
Got it.
It's like
I'm not an action movie girl.
Oh my god! I mean, for someone that reference did a number. Jarvis, turn on the lights. Yeah, he's acting like he's Elon Musk. Alexa, dim the lights, and goes right back to shoving his tongue down my throat. I love it. Shoving. It went from making out on his couch to Alexa, because now he's a cocky douchebag.
He's
yeah. He then did it again. We were in his room already doing the dirty deed, and he says, "Alexa, play my nighttime playlist," which consisted of songs about sex.
Oh my god. Smooth.
It's cheesy. I got
my
home
nighttime
and,
playlist.
Yeah, exactly. "Play the sex stuff, Alexa. You know what to do." I got home and couldn't understand if I was bothered as the thought of this man spoke. I couldn't understand if I was bothered at the thought that this man spoke to Alexa while getting it on with me, the fact that he has multiple Alexa devices throughout his home, or that he has a sex playlist. Sincerely, Alexa, email Jared and Jordana for help. I love that. So what do you think?
I think any of the last 3 things she said are okay on their own. Like, fine that he has a sex playlist, fine that he has multiple Alexas throughout his home, and fine if he, like, had said one thing to Alexa while they were making out. All 3 sure. of them together, I see what you're saying. It's like cheesy. It's like a bit of a turn off just because it's like, what is this, like your bachelor pad where you're just yeah. like, you know what I mean? Like, Alexa, like, start the vibrating bed.
Like, yeah, he's Quagmire. But, you know, right. it's like Smart House. He grew up in, you know, like, And I do agree with you. After the 3rd one, it's like, have you built this place for a Hinge date to come back to?
Right.
I would feel cheapened, personally.
Agreed. There's nothing that feels like organic and like not trying really hard about it.
Yeah. But I would say I have to kind of like push back a little bit. There are people that are like, that love to set up their home to do these things. I have a friend who's Apple obsessed, and he got the Apple light bulbs, I think they have. I didn't even know they had these. They have smart light bulbs, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Okay, so they're great. So he was explaining to me the process of syncing. He goes, I was like, what'd you do today? He's like, I woke up and I started syncing my Apple light bulbs to my Apple TV, to my Apple watch, to my phone, to my computer. And he's like, 13 hours later, I think I got it under control. Like, he's obsessed with having it all kind of work as one. And I always told him, I was like, I would get like 1 minute into setting up the Apple light bulb and it would go directly into the garbage. Like, I have no patience.
You just be like, fuck it. Yeah.
Fuck it. And some people like, and so I have a friend like this, so I understand like how obsessed he is with like the home could be
smart home. Yeah.
Smart home. Yeah. Like, and I think this happens more as you go into the suburbs too. People are like obsessed with their Nest and obsessed with their like the camera that looks out on their front, you know, the
that's the Nest, right?
There's a Nest and there's another one that was on Shark Tank.
Chime or something, who knows?
Whatever it is. So I think that, so he might be one of these guys, but it doesn't make, to some this is, it's endearing when it's not about sex. It's weird when it's in the, like if he was like, I have to show you my house, like I love how I have this set up before,
yeah,
doing
that'd be
this.
Cute.
That would be cute. It's a thin line between cute and almost like your prey.
It feels like, right, a seduction routine.
Yeah.
I think if it was like any one of these things, it would have been like, again, totally fine. Even if he was like mid makeout and he was like, Alexa, dim the lights, I'd be like,
sure,
okay, that's kind of cute. But then it was like, play my nighttime playlist would be like a bit much
well,
for
it's,
me.
It's back to the awkward sex. It's the same thing as like when you get to the third produce item, you've gone too far.
Exactly. When you get to the third demand.
Yeah, Alexa command. Yeah.
Right.
Let's do one
more.
Okay.
They add Y to everything. For example, examples: Corona, which is COVID, Hingy, which is Hinge, Porchy, which is porch drinks. This is actually happening to me with a guy I'm about to go on a date with.
Again, the rule of three. Two is enough. Like,
rule of three. That's our only, we don't have rules on this podcast, but except for one.
The rule of three. The third one, you've gone too far. I mean, to call coronavirus Corona.
Corona.
I get it because it's endearing. It's fun.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah,
like
you're
Despy.
Taking. Despy is the same thing. Like, I mean, it's with a joke, you can go three beats and then the fourth is, you've done too many, but if you get to the 10th beat, you're now doing the joke on itself. So what I mean by that is, like, in my fraternity growing up, we would abbreviate everything. We would always abbreviate everything. Like, yo, you want to get, you know, get in the cars and crush some, I don't know, I'm trying to find a word. Now I can't find a word to abbreviate, but we would abbreviate everything. Totes. Like,
totes,
yeah. Totes, oh, totes, you know, and we thought it was so funny. If you do totes, it's fine. If you go totes my goats, okay, a little cheesy. And then I used to always make the joke when someone would be like, I would abbreviate the word abbreve. And people are like, okay, that's a little ridiculous. And then when people like, you love abbreviating, I'd be like, I totes abbreve everything on perp, bro. Like, now I've done so many that it's like, I know it's ridiculous.
Right.
He's done Corona, Hingy, Porchy. When you're texting with someone, you don't know if they understand it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you
it seems
I mean?
Like he's not a good comedian or he has a like self-awareness issue, but I agree. If it's done in the right way, it could be like a running joke between you two.
Sure. I can understand that.
If he's starting out with that, with no context, I could see how that would be like a little bit of a turnoff.
Yeah. I mean, to call it hingy. Hingy's the tough one. Porchy. Yeah, I'm gonna have a porchy. If like I from a guy with a Boston accent, I can understand how that's hot. Like, want to have some porchies? Like, I could see how that would be like fun, like a little Goodwill Hunting thing. Caroni is cute, and I get the joke. Yeah, it's I would assume the person knows they're joking, so I would think that they're fun. So it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, but it would be on the we'd be hingy on the red flaggy.
Agreed. Anyway, that's our show. We solved dating yet again.
Once again, we solved dating, and everyone here, all we ask of you, if you've gotten to this point, share. Tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, papa. Let people know. Make it your Instagram story. We love that. I'll send your heart. I think Jordana will too. Even with our blue check marks, we'll
exactly
grace you with a heart.
We can come down to, you know, associate with the masses in that way.
But we'll be back on Sunday.
Bye.
You Up is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Maddie Paul. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at You Up Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And send us your emails to youup@betches.com. Betches.